WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Well, one of the most talked about subgenres of TV advertising, which they want to do a part three on, is the local ad, which stars the owner of the business being advertised. And with me are two men who have become well known throughout the Delaware Valley for their commercials. With me is Ben Crass of Crass Brothers and Aaron Levin of Aaron Levin Galleries. And we're going to talk about why they've done their own ads and how being on TV has affected their business and their image. I want to welcome you both to Fresh Air. And just in case any of our audience, any people who are listening have not already connected your names with your commercials, for the purposes of connecting those two, I'd like to ask you each to do just a few seconds of how they'd hear you on TV. Ben Crass?
We started off, if you didn't buy your clothes from Crass Brothers, you was robbed.
Aaron Levin?
Aaron Levin is having a sale, an art sale, a fine arts artist art sale. Magnificent paintings and beautiful frames, reduced to $49.95, frame included. Saturday and Sunday only, don't miss it.
And just in case you think public radio is suddenly having commercials, that's not the case. We just wanted you to be able to hear what the commercials are that we'll be talking about and how these two men sound on television. Unfortunately, we can't present your pictures as well. Well, why did you decide, Ben Crass, you've been doing it a long time, why did you decide to do ads for your own business?
When I started, which is a spell ago, there was no such thing as a 10-second commercial. It was always 20, 30, or 60. And I figured that 10 seconds ought to be a ripe thing for the agencies throughout the United States. It was unheard of by everybody I spoke to, and of course I only do 7 seconds, 3 seconds is a live tag, you know. And when the people who I was going to put on the station, NBC at that time, said, you can't sell in 7 seconds, impossible. I said, well, I'll take a jaunt and a try, and I signed up for 26 weeks. And of course, the commercial I just finished was the first 10-second commercial in the United States, and it ran, and it was publicized and was saturated on Channel 3, and later on, as you know, it went through all the stations throughout the TV audience. It sold, it grasped, it was repeated from the Delaware Valley of one place to another, so I had to go forth and go further, and it proved that it was the right thing to do, and I did it.
Did anyone tell you at that time that it was foolish for you to do an ad for yourself, that you should get a professional TV person come on and do it?
I don't think anybody said it that way. They said it's too, some would say it's too fast. Someone say it's, well, most of them said it was, you know, they repeated the cliche or the phraseology, you was robbed if you didn't go, you know, it just took off. And when something takes off, the bottom line is still success. Repeat what the man says and they go over.
Aaron Levin, why did you decide to do a commercial for your own place?
The original idea was to have somebody to talk to. An art gallery is generally a very formidable place for most people to walk into, and most people are afraid of it. The idea of doing a commercial and being seen live or being seen on tape, as the case may be, was, hey, if they see somebody and they recognize somebody, hey, I know who that is. That's the guy on television. They'll say, let's go in there. I know who it is. And you've already broken the ice before they've set foot in the door. And I think that was the big motivating force. Get them through the door and without fear. Once that happened, then all the rest of the ice melted away. That was really the reason that's what instituted it.
Did you sit down and say to yourself, now, what kind of image do I want to present on TV? And should I be funny or serious, hard sell or soft sell? Should I wear makeup or not? Should I practice my speech? Ben Crass, did you go through all that, or did you just
knew
what
you wanted
to do?
Well, when you're on television, Terry, you must wear a certain covering for your face. I mean, because it shines under those heavy lights. As far as an image, the main image is what you say and what you – the ending – of your particular commercial, if it grasps on, does it have character, does it make people think? It's what the bottom line is after you pitch. Anybody can do say anything they please, but if it don't go anywhere, it's just an ordinary piece of sterile material that means nothing. The main thing is say something. If they repeat it, they think about it, they come and patronize you, then you know you're on the right track. That's my story.
Mm. When it happened to me, the art establishment, as it were, said, oh, it couldn't be done. There's no way. You're going to take something as formidable as an art gallery and try to do something about it in 10 seconds? Forget it. It'll never happen, so on and so forth. I just felt that as far as the image, if I try to keep an art gallery image, I would be zeroing in on a very, very small percentage of people. And so what I did, or what I tried to do, was to keep that as wide a latitude as possible. You might call it a shotgun effect. Let it go as far as it can and just see what happens. Sure, it's a gamble. No question about it. But thank goodness, and this speaks for everybody in the TV industry, I think that it proved to be an absolute success. I don't know how I would be able to continue in the gallery business without television.
Did the person who produced the commercial in the studio or the agency that you went through, I don't know how you worked it, ever try to talk you out of it and say, look, you're not a professional?
Yes. But again, I had to stick to the idea that if it was not me, or if it were not me that actually did the commercial, then the very idea that I was trying to promulgate would go down the drain. Namely that, hey, I know him. I've seen him. They can walk in now and either say, hey, I've seen you on TV, or I know you. The ice is broken before the door is open.
Then, Chris, how did people react to you differently after you started being on TV doing your spots?
Are you talking about being a celebrity? Or is that, what are you driving to, Terry? I mean, or is it that we're doing something that doesn't or isn't represented in the retail market or stuff? How do you feel?
Well, I think that once you're on TV and once people are used to looking you at you on TV, that they respond to you differently when they meet you in person because they've seen that image, they've... You know, TV confers something on you that you can only get by being on TV.
You know, Terry, at the beginning, as I told you, it was tough. I don't know how many people, but throughout the United States, I think everybody that I know of have gone into 10 seconds, which never was done before. It's unheard of. Even, I think, Aaron is the same.
That's
respect.
Right.
He wouldn't have gone on if it wasn't for 10
Absolutely.
Seconds. And then they say to you, how do you do it? How do they remember? And I say, well, have an action at the end of every commercial you do. Make them remember that it's a little slapstick, yet not too slapstick. Make it a little sterile, not too sterile, though. Have a little fun in it. Bring out the product and hit it and saturate this throughout all your time you're doing it in. At the present time, what do you do, like Aaron says, when they come to the store or if you go out to the various places like I do a lot, all you do is give out autographs, all you do is stop and shake hands, and the first thing they say, where'd you get your suit from? You know, the old cliche, yeah. And they mention another store to try to, you know, bring you down to, for the fun of it, of course. But like I say, if you have a something that's a tremendous punchline in the television industry, and you can come up with new eras of thought all the time, like I did something... It frightened the people. In fact, it was written up in, I think, 13 advertising agencies beside TV Guide. One of the funeral directors gave me a coffin, and I sat in it, and I laid in it, and I said, if you got to go, go in a Crash Brothers suit, and I laid back dead. Well, I got, oh, did I get flick. In fact, three of the TV stations, the majors wouldn't run it, and the UHFs did. But after they ran it and they saw what was grasping, they all pitched in. They went for it because they got a little more excited that, of our times, we're running a different channel. We're being more elastic about everything we do. It's not just this hat is made of genuine felt. No way. We're doing something with more progress in our commercialism, something that makes sense and yet gives you a little fun and jive other than plain pitch is the word. You're pitching. That's all you're doing.
Terry, in Ben Crass, you have a pioneer. Do you realize that?
Did you do your spots because you'd known his were successful?
No, I didn't know at that particular time. I didn't know that they were successful or not successful. But I realized that if something could be done in 10 seconds and was strictly a matter of dollars and cents, the 10-second spot would be less than the 30- or 60-second spot. And the amount of money that we had to put into it was very, very limited. And but it worked. That's the whole, that as Ben said, that's the bottom line. It worked.
So do people ask for your autograph?
Oh, there, of course. There's a certain amount of egocentricism involved there. You can't help it. The box has a magic all of its own. And I'm not talking strictly from a business sense. I'm talking from a personal sense. You find yourself in a single position or not being married. The idea of being on the tube is better than an ad in Philadelphia Magazine. It has tremendous social implications, and you can't help but enjoy that. Of course, it's an ego trip. It didn't start out that way. I certainly didn't think of it that way. It started out as strictly a business thing. But in the years that I've been on, of course, it has had an effect.
So when someone meets like a say someone who's on TV because they're in a soap opera or they sing or dance or something, they can ask them about their act. What do people ask you when they meet you?
Do you really have that many paintings? Are they really as low as that? Or are you kidding? And the whole idea is this. A question has been raised. If a question has been raised, there's only one way you're going to be able to answer the question. You've got to come to the gallery. It's as simple as that.
Ben Kress, what do people ask you when they meet you as they're asking for your autograph?
Do you have your new stuff in? Did the spring come in? Did the fall came in? You got all sizes? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Are you going to be there? Well, what day you're coming? Whatever day they say, I'll be there. No, just truthfully, everybody wants to come over and meet with someone that's in the TV tube. And they, sooner or later, you know, there's 8 million people, as we've drew a conclusion, in the Delaware Valley. And they claim through the television audience that Crash Brothers get about 8 million people since the time they started in business. Of course, I wasn't always with them, but for the time I've been in, I must have met better than 4 to 5 million people in that store. So it's really there. I'm sure it is.
What are your favorite shows on TV that you would most like to see your ads on because you like the show so much?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me what was my favorite commercial. I was going to say Ben Kress.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Terry. Go ahead. You were saying?
Your favorite shows on television.
My favorite show on television, generally what comes right out of this building down here, out of WHYY and HBO. And, of course, those stations that are carrying our own commercials.
Are there any times when you get a kind of certain thrill seeing your ad on a show that you especially like?
No, I think that passes after a while. It's just at that point it's just doing a job for you, and you're thankful for that.
You're nodding, Ben Kress.
See, when you watch it, when you do your TV commercial, they have a playback. Let's say I cut 7 or 8 commercials over at Channel 6. Those commercials, when you finish on your 10-second run, the playback has to be approved by time and by you, of course. Because not only are you acting as the writer, you're acting as your director, and you have a producer and an engineer on top. I find out that, as Aaron would say, if it's on, you don't look for them. Personally, you've seen it, and you want to hear what the public has to relate to you. As far as favorite shows, each TV station has a listening audience, which you pay the price of the listening audience in that particular segment. We're pretty lucky. We have manufacturers who augment price by the business we do, and we call it co-op advertising. We have a lot of entertainment people in our business. We're full of fashion. We love fashion. People that won't buy one suit a year or one sport coat a year, and these people are the show people in our segment. And if we get a group, they want to see, like, on 10, you have a new show called Entertainment. It's all about the stars. And at 11:30, you have Mr. Carson and then Letterman and all of them. The people we get are show people, and that's the type of segments I like our particular ads to run in. to hit that type of audience.
You had chosen, for at least a while anyways, the Today Show as a place to have your ads, right?
Well, for pretty much the same reason. Pretty much the same reason. You have a wide, the shotgun effect. Johnny Carson draws a very, very large audience. And I don't think we could go wrong with it. No way.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about what it's like when you make commercials for your own business and how that affects not only your business, but your own image. And I have two guests with me who are well-known on television for their commercials. Just speaking was Aaron Levin of Aaron Levin Galleries, and also with me is Ben Crass of Crass Brothers. And what do you think of the difference between UHF and VHF? I think people assume that all the locally made commercials are really done for UHF television.
Most people feel that if they watch a movie,
yeah,
you're on a UHF stance. But if you go into a live show or even a number one show, 3, 6, or 10, which is the majors, they go for more of the top new shows that are coming forth. When you're coming to a new era of time, all these shows coming forth right now, now this is fall, they're going to go for the top shows that's coming. They want to witness, I don't know if it's Dynasty or if it's Hill Blues or stuff like that. They're going to watch that. Then at night, of course, we get into 11:30. If they don't want to watch Mr. Carson or Fantasy or all of that, they'll go into the movie like 29 and 48 and 17 has to offer, or even sports. So the UHF are more of the movie type. And the majors, of course, that has the biggest portion of the people is on the 3, 6, and 10.
I don't believe you can do without any of them. It's a cross-section. Each has its own niche. But if you're going to cover the market, every station in the area, in the geographical area, is important to you. And you cater. You do. You cater. You want all of them. No question about it.
Has it changed your self-image at all?
Gee, I've never asked myself that question. Yes, I think I've become more relaxed, much more relaxed. Whereas before I would have been much more uptight about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. I think I'm a lot more relaxed now because of it.
Well, because it's given you more status?
Perhaps confidence, status. I don't know how to, where to, I'd have to think about it. You know, you're posing things, questions I've never really given much thought to, but they're interesting. They're very, very, very good questions, Terry. I do think that it does have a very definite effect on you as an individual, and I think it's you're more aware of self. And if you don't spend that much time involved with yourself, this gives it a whole new dimension. Yes, I must agree.
Did it change your self-image, Ben Crass?
I was always in the show business.
Really?
So,
were you?
I used to record with Cameo Parkway. At that time, it was Chubby Checker and Bobby Rydell. And then after that, I owned a record company, which right now is Philadelphia International, of course, Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. And we had, you know, I owned the Intruders, which is a group that made million-seller records, gold records. And I had a couple of biggies myself, thank God, you know. And I always was in public eye with show business. So going into, then of course, radio was nothing to it. But going to television, of course, was the biggest, plateau in the advertising gimmick of everything that I had in my lifespan to reach the public. And the public, I feel today, reaches me. It's a happy marriage, one way and the other way. It's good.
Yeah, every city has the people who do the local commercials on it for clothes and galleries and used cars and food stores and whatnot. And sometimes the commercials are known as being very, very kind of crude and kind of embarrassing, and it's felt that the people don't know that they look ludicrous and are making fools of themselves. I think both of you have a certain amount of irony and showbiz in the commercials. Do people ever make fun of you, though, for doing it?
I have had people Raise the Devil with me. I can remember one letter that I received at one time asking me to please remove my commercial. But I don't think in anything you're going to take and satisfy everybody. That's a totally impossible thing to do. What we are doing, we're reaching people. People are coming out to see us. And the bottom line looks good, and I certainly can't object to that. As far as myself personally, do I feel hurt about it? Does it bother me? No, not really. I've had some things said about the gallery on a number of occasions. I think I can remember one time a few years ago, Philadelphia Magazine did a number on us. It was absolutely beautiful. They literally tore into the gallery. After that magazine came out, I think we had the best 2 to 3 months we had ever enjoyed in that place. So what you find, if people are going to write about you, either positively or negatively, the listening and reading audience are smart enough to want to come out and see for themselves. And if that's what's happening, it's going to benefit you. So for that reason, I never really care much anymore what anybody says.
And Gress, your commercials are obviously really showbiz, and but
things weren't always this easy. You know that when I first started, which was, oh God, 12, 15 years ago, static was prevalent. I mean, I got more static, I think, than anybody in show business on either in TV or radio. I got hit below the belt so many times that it's just impossible to tell these things. But as time grew and the people, the audience, grew to know, oh, first of all, the elderly people, that was a no-no. But the what we call the middle, you know, young to middle, they reached it more than the average. And little by little, the scope and the hemisphere of this point of pitching got to get into the act. And they start reading and reaching and hearing what I had to say. And it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun to do them as well as fun to hear them. Everybody's, you know, they're repeating them often enough that it must be something you're doing right. No, like Aaron said, you can't reach everybody. You can't love everybody. You can't hate everybody. You got a certain amount is the your greatest success in life is reach the multitude. The multitude is the people who spend. The multitude is the people that enjoy sarcasm. That's a few you'll have everywhere in life. But they're minors. They're not majors in your lifespan. And in our store, in our business relations, in my work I do, I find that people are just genuinely great. Seriously, I'm not pitching right now. I'm telling you the facts. It's magnificent to see what a magnificent piece of work people are. And I'm overwhelmed.
I want to thank you both for telling us about your TV commercials and how they've affected you. We've been talking about what it's like when you do a commercial for your own business and how that affects not only the business, but how that affects you and the way people see you and treat you. And with me has been Ben Crass, who does the Crass Brothers commercials, and Aaron Levin, who does his Aaron Levin Galleries commercials. And I want to thank you again both very much for being with us.
Our pleasure.
Welcome.